Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
I've never sexually assaulted anyone, not in high school, not ever.
Judge Brett Kavanaugh makes his case.
But with regard to Christine Ford, do you know her?
I may have met her. We did not travel in the same social circles. She was not a friend.
You don't remember ever being at parties with her ever?
I do not.
The Supreme Court nominee denied any wrongdoing in an interview Monday evening with Fox News' Martha McCallum.
I'm a good person. I've led a good life. I've tried to do a lot of good for a lot of people. I am not perfect. I know that. None of us is perfect. I'm not perfect, but I've never done anything like this.
It was the first television interview for the nominee since allegations of sexual assault emerged earlier this month.
I am looking for a fair process, a process where I can defend my integrity and clear my name. And all I'm asking for is fairness and that I be heard in this process.
And for many Beltway insiders, a Supreme Court nominee taking to television to, well, pre-buttal testimony at an upcoming hearing was unprecedented. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. Support and opposition for Kavanaugh has grown in light of a second allegation of sexual assault from his time as a Yale undergrad. So we wanted to know how women across different generations are reacting to the news.
My name is Brianna Clark, and I'm a second-year law student at Yale Law School.
This is Maria Pruitt-Conway from Orange Park, Florida. I'm a territory manager for a medical company.
Hi, my name is Nancy Murphy. I'm 53 years old. From Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
A college student on the left side of politics, a Republican with issues with both parties, and Nancy, a centrist Republican, begins our conversation.
I think it feels like some kind of witch hunt that they went back to his past, like they found an old yearbook or something, and are seeking people who might have come across him. And I don't know the validity of the stories that they're alleging, but it doesn't feel legitimate to me.
And Maria, I want to get your thoughts on this as well. How are you feeling right now?
So far, with what I've heard and the evidence that's been presented, I do feel like this is a situation where we really need to listen to the facts and see what's presented, because it does kind of seem like a last minute, revelation. And I think with the current climate, everybody needs to step back and weigh things out and listen, give them some credit, but make a judgment based on evidence.
And Brianna, you have actually been a part of the efforts to organize protests at Yale. Tell us a little bit about your reaction to the Kavanaugh accusations and your work on trying to organize these protests.
Sure. My reaction is that due to the fact that there are allegations, we need a full, fair, complete investigation of the allegations. And that's honestly to just be fair for everyone involved. And that's what a large part of the organizing for myself has been, is just calling for a fair investigation. Brett Kavanaugh will hold a very important position in our country for generations if he's confirmed. And because of that, we as a country deserve to have an investigation of the people that we're putting up there, and people that are potential victims of sexual assault have the right to be heard on their experiences. And that's what's motivated me to engage in organization efforts, as well as other students at the school.
Maria, you're the mother of an 18-year-old boy. I'm wondering, are you talking to him about this? Has this created a conversation between the two of you to discuss, who knows, everything from consent to more than that when it comes to sexual behavior?
Yeah, I do feel like that's the impetus for change in our country, is use it as talking points with your young sons and your daughters. you know, as they go out into the world and they engage in relationships, use it as an example of what's appropriate, what's respectful, how do you treat other people, what's appropriate, because that's how we're going to change what's happened in the past.
Nancy, you're also a parent, but you're a parent to a 14-year-old girl. What about your conversations with her? Has this situation impacted anything about that?
Yes. I mean, we've talked about this specific scenario as well as just everything related to relationships. And my daughter's a 14-year-old in Catholic high school. So it's, she kind of looks at me like I'm crazy, like, Mom, I'm not even in that scenario yet. So why are we having this conversation? But I know at some point as she gets older, if she goes off to college, that especially when there's alcohol involved, I think that's a great influencing factor on people's decision-making and what they're doing as well as their memory. So we've talked about those topics, yes. And like Maria said, it opens the opportunity for that conversation to happen.
I will say, you know, I went to college in the 90s, and I feel like there was a conversation. Well, I know there was a conversation around things like date rape and consent. And, you know, we were talking about this back then. Brianna, you're currently in college. What is the conversation that's happening today among your peers about things like that?
I think the conversation is about understanding that there is a very real and serious danger in terms of creating spaces where people feel uncomfortable. People feel that they may be exposed to some type of sexual misconduct, and that involves things with date rape. That involves things at parties and things like that. And I think the conversation is trying to make sure that we don't create those spaces. And I think the conversation is just calling out behavior that in the past has been seen as okay, that we should start saying is no longer okay.
I'm wondering, you know, this is not a court of law. We are not, you know, Judge Kavanaugh is not being held to that standard, but he is, in fact, interviewing, if you will, for one of the most important jobs in the United States. So my question is, should we be holding him to the same standard as a court of law, which is innocent until proven guilty, or is this line of questioning accurate for someone who is going to take one of the most important positions in the United States? I'll open that up to all of you.
This is Nancy, and I think that, yes, he should be held to the highest possible standard, with the caveat that things that happened 35 years ago when he was a teen himself, people when you're a teenager don't think the same way as you do when you're older, as you grow through maturity and you learn through experiences. And I think that there's got to be not flexibility, because again, there's right and there's wrong. And if they do something wrong, then that is wrong. But just that as people get older, they become more mature and have better thinking skills.
This is Brianna. And I think for me, this kind of comes down to three answers. One, he should be held to the highest standard. He's filling a position that has an immense amount of power. And anyone that is filling that position should be held to the highest standard in terms of investigating that person, in terms of vetting that person to make sure that they deserve to walk into a building every single day that says equal justice under law on the entrance of the steps. Secondly, I think regarding the allegations against Judge Kavanaugh himself, it's not only about the fact that if these are true, he was a teen, it's about the fact that he's categorically denying them. Therefore, if they are true, and I say that's a strong if because I believe we should investigate, if they are true, it says something about his character that he denied that something happened. And then three, teenagers don't have the same maturity as adults, but there is right and wrong. And I don't know all of the allegations. I can't speak to any of the factual allegations, but some of the things that are coming out, I think that even a teenager should know is wrong, or if not, we have to, and if they don't, it is our time and our moment to start letting our teenagers know, hey, there's a problem with that behavior.
I'm wondering, Nancy and or Maria, you guys have already been through college. You've already, you know, had these experiences. Did either of you feel when you listened to the testimony or to the allegations by Ford and Ramirez, do you recognize anything from your own college experiences in those allegations or your own time that you spent as an undergrad?
Yes, I mean, I do. I've used this example in discussions with friends. I mean, when I went to college in the mid-80s, and I had experiences with older men and, you know, a work situation and all where they did behave inappropriately. And I was a college student working my way through college, and I depended on the job that I had. And I didn't feel like I could say anything to anyone about the behaviors that, you know, were being exhibited towards me. And now in today's world, they look very differently even than they did to me back as a young 20-year-old woman, because even back then, well, that's just kind of what happens to you when you're a woman, you know. But I think right is right. Respectful behavior is respectful behavior. And there's no compromising that. Sexually harassing another person is not appropriate. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, white, black, rich, poor. And that's the direction they all need to head in moving forward.
And I just want to wrap by asking each of you, do you think that we need to trust women more?
I think, yes. I think we need to create a space where women feel, and people, other people, of other victims of sexual assault, because I recognize that all victims of sexual assault are not women. They're just overwhelmingly women. So I think our first charge is to create the space for people to feel comfortable telling their stories. And one way to do that is to trust what's coming out of people's mouths.
I agree that we should listen and we should trust women. But in this situation, I think the last minute nature of it, the waiting 35 years to report it, the spontaneity of this allegation suddenly appearing before deciding on whether or not this man is going to join the Supreme Court, that part to me, I have trouble believing.
I read something yesterday that's kind of stuck with me. I was reading an article about, you know, investigating another long-term incident, you know, something that happened a long time ago, and the writer said, you know, to end it up, a moral conscience at ease accomplishes nothing. That sticks with me because I feel like that's where we are in this country. It's time to not just sit back and say, this is what's always happened, you know, and turn a blind eye as long as you feel comfortable with where you're at. Let's question things. Let's think about things in a different way. As Brianna says, thoroughly investigate, give everybody, you know, a fair chance and their say, but don't just sit back and rest on what has been, you know, let's look to forge a new way.
Maria, Nancy, and Brianna, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for the opportunity. Everyone for being here.
That was Maria Pruitt-Conway, Nancy Murphy, and Brianna Clark. And now we want to give you some space to respond. Since Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation first came under scrutiny, your calls have been pouring in.
This is Carol Varney. I'm calling from Atlantic Beach, Florida. I am an 84-year-old woman. I've been a registered Democrat for 66 years. It's kind of strange to me that the Democrats who are screaming about this don't seem to remember Ted Kennedy and Bill Clinton. What they did to women was much, much worse.
My name is Paul Spindell, and I'm calling from Westland, Oregon. For a lifetime appointment, we shouldn't be rushing this through. We should take our due diligence to really find out what kind of person this person is and make a judgment accordingly.
For some of you, the developments have changed your perspective on whether Kavanaugh deserves to be confirmed. For others, experiences in your own life are informing how you are following the story.
I thought he was very intelligent and smooth in his answers early in his interview process. Now that I know, I am sickened by how convincing he was in the beginning.
My name is Sharon from Somerville, South Carolina. I'm furious about the events that have been going on with the Kavanaugh nomination. Knowing many women that have been assaulted, I think it's insulting that Dr. Ford is being treated this way and that Mr. Kavanaugh is getting a walk.
This is B.J. Anderson from Scio, Oregon. I am an intelligent, accomplished, middle-aged white woman who was sexually assaulted twice in my 20s, once by a man and once by a woman. I told no one, and I think it's time that we let all the truth come out from all of us. And I am the parent of an 18-year-old brown-skinned daughter who will likely be sexually assaulted at least once in her life, and that enrages me. So I am horrified at the travesty of Mitch McConnell saying his mind is already made up and therefore not actually planning on hearing anything. All these things inform my reaction.
Last week on the show, we were following the hashtag on Twitter, Why I Didn't Report. So we asked if you had ever publicly shared a story of being sexually harassed or assaulted. And in call after call, so many women shared their experiences and told us why they didn't report. And this is a warning, there are several descriptors of sexual assault that could be difficult to hear for some of our listeners.
My name is Julia, and I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I had an experience in college twice where I was raped. And it took me many, 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 many years before I told anyone. And then it was through intense therapy.
My name is Penelope, San Francisco. I'm 68. I had a similar experience right after college, which is when I realized that a drunk man is much stronger than I am. And if he decides he wants to do something, I don't have the strength to fend him off. But who was I supposed to tell afterwards?
My name is Joan. I'm calling from Vallejo, California. I was sexually abused by a minister in a church when I was 13 years old, and that was 73 years ago. I never told anybody, not my husband, not my best friend, nobody, until this year when all of this was coming out about the Me Too movement. So that's 73 years after the event occurred that I did not tell anyone.
And in some cases, you did report, but said you weren't taken seriously.
39 years ago, I was assaulted by my boss at work. I did actually contact authorities, and when I spoke with the DA's office, I heard laughing in the background. It was humiliating to be laughed at. So I do know why people do not come forward.
We're very grateful that you're sharing your experiences and thoughts with us, and we'd ask you to keep the calls coming. You can leave us a message at 877-8-MY-TAKE. This is Your Takeaway.